In the name of the Father, and the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. I was in a quandary about how to start the sermon this morning, and I was going to start off with asking who'd watched that fantastic sports match last night with the Matildas in the those who may not know, there was a world final quarter final last night, and the final 15 minutes when it went to penalty shootout was fantastic. I was this far from the television screen, and that's not meaning to sound disrespectful to the sermon this morning. However, some of the issues that really resounded with me were, first, you know, about focusing on what was happening in the present, and also about relationship with those team members, with each other and with their coach, and being resolute in terms of what they wanted and the focus. So that's the sort of slightly disrespectful way I start the sermon this morning. And the other way I was going to start was just being really honouring that hymn that we sang this morning, "Turn Your Eyes Upon Jesus," and focusing on Jesus. So in the passage that was read this morning, we hear of a story and we all know it. And in fact, the overhead was really almost like from a, with great respect, from a child's book, a Bible, seeing Jesus walking on the water. But there's far more to it than that. And the setting that we have is that Jesus, in the previous chapter in Matthew, John the Baptist had been beheaded, and then Jesus went and fed the 5,000. And he was followed by a crowd. And he had compassion on them, and we know that he miraculously fed them. But then it continues with today's reading, and Jesus actually has a plan. He dismisses the crowd, and he says to the disciples, "You go and get in a boat. You go and get in a boat, and go on before me." And you'll notice that the passage says that he made them go, so he compelled them to go. He instructed them to get in the boat and go out onto the lake. And you'll notice in the scripture they didn't object. They were obedient. They did as he requested. And then what Jesus did was he then went up on the mountain. He went alone with nobody. The crowd had gone. He went alone, and he went up on the mountain to pray. And in Matthew's gospel, the mountain is a place of encountering God and hearing the proclamation of God's kingdom. Likewise, in Moses, in the story of Moses, hears the proclamation of God's glorious kingdom on the mountain. So in Matthew's gospel also, the mountain is of significance. So Jesus goes up to the mountain, he communes with God the Father, and there are the disciples out on the boat. They went out there early, and then in the evening, it starts to get a bit windy out on the lake. Well, these are sailors. Surely they are made of material that is used to being out on the lake in the wind. Apparently that lake is incredibly tumultuous at times. And then the waves started to appear. They started to get buffeted. And then at about the third or fourth watch, was about 3 to 6 o'clock in the morning, Jesus appears to them. However, to go back a little, they are out on the boat alone. Jesus isn't with them. We contrast that to a little earlier in Matthew chapter 8, verses 23 to 27, and you may remember that Jesus was with them in the boat. Do you remember? And he was asleep in the boat. And it started to get windy and the boat rocked around and they shook him and they said, you know, save us, save us. And in that situation, Jesus was in the boat, asleep in the back of the boat, and he quelled the seas. He quelled the seas from inside the boat. But on that occasion, the disciples were left wondering. And they said, what kind of man is this? They didn't recognize Jesus. Even when the winds and the waves obeyed him and the sea was quelled, in that situation they didn't recognize him. They hadn't put two and two together. We will see in this situation that their recognition is different. So the disciples are in the boat, it's windy, they become terrified. They fear for their lives. And then all of a sudden, we're told they see a ghost walking across the water. As I say, it's early in the morning, so they're tired, perhaps they're dispirited, and they see what they think is a ghost walking across the water. They mistake the Lord of creation, the King of Kings, they mistake him as a ghost. And they see Jesus, as I said, outside the boat, walking on the water. So what does Jesus do? I'd also premise that by saying, how often are we out on the rocky, tumultuous waters? How often are we in difficulties? How often do we lose our vision, forget who is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords? The scriptures tell us that Jesus immediately, didn't wait a while, immediately, he said to them, take courage. And what else did he do? He reassured them. The scripture says he reassured them. And he said, but he reassures them by saying, it is I. He's saying it's me. The other notion of it is I, it is I am. The other scriptural meaning is Jehovah. He's telling them who he is. Don't be afraid. Don't be scared. He's reassuring the disciples to be courageous. What he's doing, because God has a plan. He had a plan when he sent them out in the boat. What was the plan? The plan was that they would come to a time when he would reveal himself by not only his words, but his actions. They didn't recognize it the first time when he quelled the seas. This time it's a bit different. It's a plan of revelation. So Jesus is not only his words, but his actions are revealing. In Psalm 89, verse 9, the psalmist exalts the Lord and says, you rule over the surging sea. When its waves mount up, you still them. So in the midst of the seas churning, Jesus does what only God can do. He has power over nature. So just as Jesus was with the disciples, he's with us. In times of trouble and discomfort and we lose our vision and we're not sure what's happening, God is always with us. Just as that wonderful hymn said, turn your eyes upon Jesus, look full in his wonderful face, and the things on earth will come strangely dim. How truly those words in that hymn that we sang, and it was wonderful to stand there and hear everybody sing it. It's about focusing on Jesus, because his actions and words are revealing if we are open to them. So notice as we move on through the scripture, it's only Peter at this stage that acknowledges Jesus. Lord, save me. He recognizes Jesus because he has a relationship with him. Lord, save me. How often do we look in times of trouble, look to Jesus and say, Lord, help me? Because it's what Peter did. Then Peter got down out of the boat and he walked on the water and came towards Jesus. His action was one of moving towards Jesus, just as we should. But when he saw the wind, because it was the wind that was making the seas tumultuous, was the wind. But when Peter saw the wind, he was afraid. He wasn't afraid of a ghost because he knew it was Jesus, but he was afraid of the situation. He was distracted by the situation. His focus was gone. Lord, save me. And then immediately, again, I love this word in the scriptures when Jesus responds immediately. It's all through the Gospels. Immediately, Jesus then reached out his hand, reached out. It's Jesus that's reaching out. It doesn't say Peter reached out. It said Jesus reached out. And what did Jesus do? Verse 31 says Jesus caught him. Wow, he not only reached out, he caught him. You of little faith, he said, why did you doubt? I mean, how often do we misread a situation and Jesus is there and we still doubt? It's often because we're distracted by what's going on around us. And when they climbed into the boat, what happened? The wind died down. It's only they got back into the boat, the wind died down. Again, the revelation that God is ruler over nature. Then what happened to the disciples? Then those that were in the boat worshipped him. It was almost like they had to wait till the situation was over, that they needed extra proof or whatever. Then those that were in the boat worshipped him, saying, truly you are the Son of God. There's that contrast. First time they hadn't recognized him when he quelled the waters. This time, however, they did, because they also saw what had happened to Peter. So in terms of what does this mean to us, I think it means that just as that song said, keep your focus on Jesus. And I loved in the prayer of the day, Tanya, there was a line about praying that we recognize Jesus. I recognize that it's praying. Let us pray that we keep recognizing God's hand in everything. So in conclusion, What can we derive from this passage today? Well, that there's always a purpose in what Jesus does. Jesus, God has a plan. He has a divine plan. And it was exemplified today. So there are also some principles to be gleaned as an encouragement from today's passage. One, Jesus went to pray and commune with his Father alone. I think it's an encouragement to us. We pray communally, but there's always a time to go alone, be away from the distractions. We don't have to go up a mountain. I go into the garden a lot. I love my garden. Time to be alone and to pray. Number two, we often meet Jesus when we are in a crisis or a storm, a great time of great uncertainty, because we don't know where to, in our own strength, we don't know where to turn. But Jesus is there. He's our focus. Number three, sometimes we need to step out of our boat of either comfort or discomfort to experience Jesus, the relational aspect. Number four, Jesus reveals he is greater than our problems. No matter what we deem to be our problems, he's so much greater than that. And I think that we often, or certainly I often forget it. Number five, we need to stay focused. Every day, we get distracted. We're human. We get distracted. We're made up of flesh and blood. Of course we get distracted, but ultimately our spiritual focus is on Jesus. And number six, we need to keep growing in the knowledge of Jesus. We can't remain stunted or infantile in our growth of our God. So finally, let us pray. Heavenly Father, we praise your name that we are new creations in Christ and a member of his body. Help us to keep our eyes fixed on the Lord Jesus. Help us to not allow our attention to be diverted away from things that are eternally important to the temporal things of the world. Help us to focus on you as we wake in the morning, as we rest at night, and throughout the busyness of every passing day. Lord, we desire to grow in grace and maturity in faith, and to be ever aware and open to your marvelous revelation to us. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.